You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hey, everybody. It's Tobin Arthur with the Innovation for Alpha podcast. I'm really excited today to be joined by Clint McGill, who is a super interesting guy and a little different type of a discussion today. Clint runs a program and a business called Baseball Notes and a baseball player by background, but has built an incredible training business. So I'm excited, Clint, to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Tobin. Excited to be here and chat about a few things. So looking forward to it.
Well, thank you. This is a fun topic because I really enjoy baseball. My son enjoys baseball, which is what led us to discover you. Why don't we just talk a little bit about your background? Tell us about how you got from here, coming from there.
Oh man, well, I'll give you the short version of it. Right, the long version feels like it's an hour in its own self. But yeah, just grew up playing baseball. Went to high school, junior college, college, and ended up playing a little bit in the minor leagues myself. And something that I struggled with was confidence, right? Like it's a very difficult game, and constantly worried about the future. All the self-doubts, are players better than me, that type of thing. I really felt while I'm pretty proud about the career I had, I do think there were times that I could have done better if I'd had some skills to handle that, right? So after my playing days were over, I started a business, right? Like, okay, I'm done playing baseball. Astros released me. Like, what do I do now? Let's make some money. And so I started a business where I sold ceiling beams. It's like a polyurethane foam ceiling beams. And I got into that. My dad's got a lumber company. So it was kind of a side thing that he did. So he sort of helped me start it. So I did that for like 10 years or so, and it took a really long time for that to get going. And so what I started doing was reading books. I wasn't really much of a book reader. And so every book that I read, whether it was on, improving your habits, making money or anything, everybody talked about mindset. And all I could think about was how applicable that would have been for me as a baseball player with things like the imposter syndrome. I didn't know that was an actual thing. Like, other people have these same thoughts. Boy, that sure would have been nice to know that when I was just beating myself up about like, everybody looks so confident and not me. And so anyway, so I got interested in this online business while I was doing the faux ceiling beams, which, once it started to make money, it was like, oh, okay. I always thought I'd like that business more once it started making money. And then it made money and it was like, well, it's still just kind of fine. You know what I mean? So I was kind of playing around online, trying to, write an ebook or, trying to do something that's useful. And finally I bought a course on, how to run Facebook ads and, find a market that you can, market to or whatever, mm-hmm. and find out what they want and create what they want. And sure enough, everybody had the same problem where their kid played really well in practice and was really talented. And then come game time, they completely sabotaged themselves, right? Mm-hmm. They abandoned their training. They, were 0-for-1 and they're now crying and they, it's over with. And so, it was just kind of like a perfect fit of like, I also struggled with that. And there are actually things, mindset techniques that work that are really useful to sort of combat all that negative chatter. And so I was like, all right, let's make a program. Let's see if it works. And so I created the program, the Bulletproof Hitter. It's 6 short lessons. I kept them about 6-7 minutes, something like that. And it was kind of funny because I expected it to be for high school, college, professional hitters, because it's kind of deep, right? It talks about subconscious right. minds and things yep. like that, right? And I'm like, it's a little deep, like depending on the author you're reading, like it can be some deep stuff. And I was really, well, first off, nobody connected with it. For about the first year, I made it and I put it out there. And, online business, even still today, is kind of a combination lock, right? Like you can have 3 numbers right, but if that 4th one's not right, then it just doesn't work. And so, the program existed for about a year. Nothing really happened. And right about that time, I was thinking about, man, should I, try to push into this more or stop? And my building material business at that, right at that exact moment, I got contacted about selling it. And so it was kind of like, I felt like a little bit of a God moment of like, hey, maybe I'm getting a little bit of a pat on the back here of, let's push into this a little bit. You know what I mean? And yeah. So anyway, I did. I sold that business, and you know, not a massive exit, but it was enough to give me some runway to give this thing a go. And so, you know, kept hammering at the Facebook ads, and finally, I created a free article that was, you know, had a call to action at the end. It was like four free tips, and it worked. It just people connected with the content with it, and were like, hey, this, let's give it a try. And so, not only did it sell, it was like, you know, at first it was like, oh my God, it's selling. Like, okay, are these people going to ask for refunds or what's going to happen here? And then all of a sudden the program's working. You know, I'm getting these emails coming back, like, you know, not even asking for emails. And people were circling back like, oh my God, we had this massive transformation that's helped my kids so much. And I'm like, oh my God, like, that's great. That's great. I knew it would help me, but I didn't know if it'd help others. And so that's all been about 4 years ago now. And so we've kind of started to scale it up. And, you know, ventured out a little bit outside of the mindset stuff. We've got hitting and pitching and a lot of different resources, but, you know, 95% of what people come to Baseball Notes for is some sort of resource to help their kid. Because this isn't, you know, these mindset techniques isn't something that you encounter at school and parents don't know. You're just dealing with a frustrated kid. And so giving people some resources to, you know, fight those mental demons and to, you know, avoid those landmines has been really useful. So, so that's where we're at. We're like I said, four years in, something like that. And we're starting to do some live events, something I've been real reluctant to do. You know what I mean? I'm kind of an introvert by nature, but there's a real need for it. And we've done one or two. They've been really fun. So it's like, you know what, let's keep it going. So,
cool. Anyway, that's where we're at. That's a great story. I didn't realize the origins of that. And what's, you know, occurred to me as I've watched the programs is it's interesting. You brought sort of some of the things that you were learning, it sounds like, from the business world, applied them back here, they're so transferable. I mean, all of these same demons and challenges are true in sports. They're true whether you're, you know, 10 years old or whether you're 30 years old. And then the same things are true in business. You know, is this really a great business? Am I a fraud? Is it, you know, am I really good at this? I mean, it's all the same things. Let's go back just for a second. So it's fascinating. You had built the content. So those initial 6 minute courses, how did you go about, you know, producing those initially? Was it, you know, what was it mechanically look like? Was it super simple? Was it high production? How did that start out?
Yeah. So the first version, it's funny you asked that. The first version is embarrassingly bad, right? Like, I don't know if you remember those commercials where it's like, I'm a Mac and I'm a PC.
Yeah.
Where
sure.
There was like those two guys and it was just like this white, not even a screen, just like this white world behind them. Right. And that was my vision. I was like, I'm going to be just this guy lecturing in this world. And so my buddy told me, he's like, yeah, you put up this sheet and then you put a backlight on it and everything. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do it. And so, I mean, it looked like I had a wrinkly sheet behind me. I mean, it's like, it's just so bad. And I didn't speak well. And that's something I still try to improve on, right? But I mean, when you're on camera, you really have to go like 110% because you lose some of that energy. And so like, I couldn't let anybody be around to film me. I was so embarrassed. But they just came off really boring. But the first version, I really didn't know if it was going to sell. So I didn't want to put too much labor and everything into it. So they were just straight up me looking at the camera. And you know, it would take me, I had a teleprompter, so it would take me for a 5 minute video. It'd probably take me an hour to do it because I'm, you know, stuttering. I got to reset up the, you know, back up the teleprompter and then I cut it, but it was just basically one shot of me for 6 minutes talking.
Wow.
And, you know, not the most engaging deal, but it was useful. And so, anyway, we reshot it again. I did the same thing, but I was in a batting cage. You know what I mean? I was like, this looks terrible. I'm embarrassed. And, there was actually even, I missed it during the first edit. One of the lessons, was on the final version, like the people that watched, I made a point and then it shows me walking up to the camera and going behind to turn it off. And then I'm back to talking again. I don't know how I missed it, but it was just, you know, I mean, it was just not professional.
Yeah.
And, so anyway, version two was me in a batting cage talking. It was a lot better. I had a microphone. And then this third version of it, that's currently there is it's more, like my kids were watching YouTube stuff and I was just really paying attention to the sounds that they're listening to. Cause it was like these videos weren't very good, but they kept kids engaged because you hear a whoosh when something gets on the screen
or,
you know, and so now whenever I talk about two people holding the bat, like we talk about having, you know, not to get too deep into it, but like you have your self one, who's the hitter, and then the self two, I'm sorry, self one is the little chatterbox, and self two is actually hitting. And so we've got a video of a kid hitting, and then, you know, his twin basically wraps around him. So they're both holding the bat. And so instead of me just talking like that, we actually have a visual, you know what I mean? So, and we got some sounds. And so that's all evolved. And, but it started with me with a wrinkly sheet, kind of a tan looking sheet, wasn't even white. You know what I mean? It was just like, just a miserable effort, but it was enough to, like, people need help. And that's what I kind of found is, like, when people need help, they're like, really don't care what the sheet looks like. It's like, if you can help me with my kid who's crying after every at bat, I'm a watch, you know? So,
well, it's funny. I asked my son, Thomas, who's our baseball player. He's just turned 10 a couple of days ago. I said, you know, anything you want me to share with Mr. McGill, you know, we're going to be talking. He said, I'll tell him I love his programs. He said, I learned a lot. And as you said, there's some material in there that's, you know, it's fairly sophisticated, but it's amazing even for little guys and gals. It's, you know, they really embrace it. They get it because they're all, you know, they all know, whether it's standing in the batter's box or our golfer son who's standing over the ball or our daughter playing tennis, you know, serving for the match, all of these same things, they it's very visceral. And so it's great. So you talked about how it was a couple of years, you're kind of banging on this. It sounds like Facebook was the primary channel, but then you put out this tip. How did you think about, you know, I'm going to put this, the call to action, and what did that look like mechanically, and why do you think that ultimately kind of flipped the deal over for you?
Well, so what I did was, there was an article written. There's a guy named Andre Chaperone, and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that last name right, but he does like online business and stuff. And I was reading about, you know, I was reading about online marketing and everything. And he had this article that was like 6 pages long. Like, you would literally, like, you get to the bottom of the page and you click next, and all of it was very, very well thought out. And it was just the language that he used, like the way he spoke, was so conversational. And he would put video, like he would put a picture, he'd mention his mom, and he'd put a picture of, like, a selfie picture of him and his mom.
Okay.
And it's like, this is a real guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it was, and he was sharing a few tips, and he kind of gave me the formula right there. You know what I mean? On how to structure it as far as, like, laying out the problem. Like, let's talk about, you know, what that looks like. And so one of the biggest things that we took from that, or that I took from that, was that he had two people. One was called Frank, and one was called Matt.
Okay. Right?
And Frank was the guy who was, you know, chasing every shiny object. He couldn't stick with anything. He was frustrated, but he knew there was something there. And then there was Matt, kind of the after, right? Who, you know, was struggling, but, or I'm sorry, was not struggling, you know, has these doubts and all these things, but he continues to make action anyway. And basically it was just this, I borrowed that.
Okay.
And so I had, you know, this, I called it the Lovejoys and the Joneses, right?
Okay.
And the Joneses. And I think the biggest thing that worked was that I didn't kill the before guy, right? Like, didn't make him a monster. I was like, the Jones family, I go, you know, it was a picture of a dad and a son. And it was like, Mr. Jones loves his kid, right? Like, they work hard. He cares about him. He says, but there is a lot of frustration in the house, and all these different, you know, gives him too much instruction after the game, you know, little Jones is crying, you know, cries too much, or is too hard on himself, or is, you know, abandons his training. And something very, very relatable to, it was exactly what everybody had told me that they're going through. And then I showed a picture of the Lovejoy family, and it was kind of similar. It was like, Lovejoys love their kids. You know, they go out there and they have struggles, but they don't get too down on themselves, and they smile out there on the field. And so suddenly it created this little before and after picture. And, it was a long article, gave like four real tips, like things that you can do, like interrupting that self-talk and reevaluating your emotions, right? Like, you're not nervous. You know, you have those feelings inside your body, like, that you're uncomfortable with. A lot of people call those nerves. But one of the tips was like, it's not nerves. You're actually excited. You know what I mean? Like, the brain will process that moment a whole lot differently, because those two emotions are almost identical. It's just basically, you know, your body's actually heightened and more ready to compete. And that's one thing that I had said was, like, I pitched a little bit in college, And I had a couple more miles an hour during the games that I didn't have access to during practice. Like I could not throw that hard.
Sure.
And so using it is like, hey, those feelings, like you, it's like the superpower. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't call them nerves, call them excited. And so anyway, that's like one of the tips. And then once we got to the end, it was like, hey, look, there's a better way. Like we've been through these struggles. Like I put a picture of me and my son, you know what I mean? Mm. And he was like 7 at the time. And said, there's a better way. And we were here to show you how. And people were like, let's try it. Let's do it. You know what I mean? And so that worked, as opposed to me just putting up, you know, an ad, said like, here's mindset skills to help your kid. And then it's like, here, you know, they get to land on the page and it's like, here's our program. It's 6 lessons and we teach them mindset skills, and people just didn't connect. You know what I mean? So it was just very, I didn't write it professionally. I'm not a sports psychologist. And I feel like that's actually been my benefit, where I don't speak that language of subconscious minds and that type of thing. Like I've got a kid and he struggled, and as a dad, I'm trying to help him, and we're making it worse. You know what I mean? And then we found ways that got better, and people understand that. And they're like, I'm listening. You got me.
Yeah. It's very relatable. So, it's transparent.
Yeah. So that's basically how that got kicked off. So then, you know, we've evolved a few different ads from those, but that was the one that was a home run for sure.
Before I get off the Facebook for just 1 second, I have a question on that. So do you find, is there a correlation where if you are spending on ads, you'll see, you know, traffic jump up, and then if you pull off on the spend, it drops off? Or are there other things that keep that sustained? I mean, how do you think about that now, just in terms of keeping traffic moving along?
Yeah, I mean, it's pay to play. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I had a Facebook page. It had about 30,000 followers, and I ended up getting hacked. My personal account got hacked, and Facebook was zero help with getting it recovered. And so eventually I lost access to that page. I could still run ads, because I ended up hiring an ads team once this started to kind of work.
Yep.
I got scared about scaling. You know what I mean? Once, you know, I can spend a few $100 a day, but past that, I need somebody who knows what they're doing. You know what I mean? And so anyways, they could still run ads, but I couldn't post. And, you know, Facebook changed their algorithm anyway, to where if you make a post, you know, I got 30,000 followers, I might get 4 likes if it's not a very good post. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of irrelevant, but if I pay the money, I will get in front of your scroll. You know what I mean? Wow. That really hasn't changed. Like, we have to spend in order to get that in front of people. And it has gotten more expensive. It's very unnerving in a lot of ways. Like it's like, hey, you keep going up, Facebook, you change something else.
Right.
You know, people are getting off Facebook a little bit. And so we've been, you know, mindful of trying to look at other avenues to make sure that we're getting our message out there, and not just, I'm a little overexposed, I feel like, with the business on Facebook right now. We get sales other places, but we've got to keep working at that.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you've probably got a pretty good following at this point. You know, so many people, I'm guessing, have consumed your content. Do you start to see a lot of repeat folks as you bring up something new, a new program? You know, how much are you kind of relying on repeat customers now versus cultivating new ones? You know, is there a ratio you think about at all, or is it just see what happens?
Yeah, it's definitely an area I think there's a room for improvement with, you know, from a business perspective of the back end, because, you know, I've studied a lot of online business, and there's a lot of people that will break even or even lose money on the front end. I spend $1,000 a day, but I only get back 600. But I know that that 600 will inflate to 2000 over a course of a year. And I've just never had the stomach to do that. It's like, I got to make money day one. I can't throw away hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars a day. And, so I make money on the front end, and we do offer, you know, we have email flows at the end where people get, you know, a week later talking about our pitching program and hitting program. And, those do okay. You know, we probably could hit them a little bit harder. I've always been reluctant to be the everyday email man. You know what I mean? And I got people that tell me, like, email every day. That is a day miss if you did not email them. And those are, you know, things that we probably need to experiment with more. But, you know, I'd say still 80, 90% of our business is from those front end. And so, doing more with that audience. You know, we have a podcast that people can engage a little bit deeper, build that relationship.
Yep.
But having more things to offer them is always something I'm thinking about.
So. Sure. You know, it's I was having this coffee this morning with this friend of mine I mentioned, who's an incredible high school coach. And I was sharing with him this last weekend, we had a long tournament. And it's very funny. So our kid, our son plays at 9U, and they'll be 10U here. And they're a pretty competitive team, quite a good team. There's a very clear correlation. So this team loves to dance. So if we put on music, they've got walk-up music and they all pick their songs and have a lot of fun with it. But when we play dance music, these kids are out dancing like monkeys in front of the cage or the dugout.
Yeah.
Yeah. And invariably they go up to bat and they smoke it. And they're a great batting team. But this weekend they were very tense because there was an expectation that they were going to win this tournament. They went as the number one seed. It was a 3-day tournament. They were 4 games into it. It smoked all 4 games and went to the semifinals and were playing a team that they should have beat, 99 out of 100 times. And they lost the game. And it was very interesting watching the body language in the game. They were all tense. The coach was tense. The language was tense. It was all about, let's not fail. The dancing was gone. And so it was, I was thinking of you and knowing we had this conversation coming up, thinking this weekend was the perfect experiment to show what not to do and what to do. Every time we play the dance music and the kids are out there like monkeys, their performance is fantastic because they're not thinking about, I'm going to go up and fail. No, they're thinking about just having fun and goofing around with their friends.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, it's how it goes, right? Baseball is a hard game. And I think it's a good little, metaphor for life, right? Sure. Like it's easy to dance when you're winning. I'm 4-0, I'm a dance, right. What I mean? Yeah. But what we teach in our program is that you will be on a team that is not going 4-0, it's 0-4, right. And you will have 0-3 games, and you have to bring that energy of the 4-0 to that moment, whatever you're in, right? If you're just going to show up and let the score dictate your mood, you're going to be miserable in this game, right? Like in business and in baseball, like you are not going to be okay if you just sort of show up neutral and are like, let's let something else decide how I'm going to feel about myself. You know what I mean? Right. Cause you're about to strike out. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's coming. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how good you are.
Yep.
And so making sure that you show up, that's what we talk about with our boys. And you're not just dancing all the time. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, but you've got to come in there and be like, look, we're down 6-0 against a team that should have been beating, but I need to interrupt my mood and improve it. And you can actually do that. You know what I mean? It's just about a matter of being mindful of, I'm not going to be blown around by like a leaf here. I'm going to be the arrow through the wind. You know what I mean? So.
Sorry, I've got my dog yelling. I got to tell him to quiet him down. So I was, it was funny. So when we bought the program originally, what caught my attention was, of course, showing it to my son. But then you have the corollary or the sister program for the parents. So I thought, oh, we should get that too. And it's such a good program. I can't recommend it enough to parents because, we're trying to be encouraging and supportive. And we think we do a lot of things right. And then I watched the program thinking, holy crap, we're doing most of the stuff wrong. And, telling little Johnny when he gets up to bat, stand closer to the plate or all of this kind of stuff, which is what all parents are doing for the most part. And, then when you pointed out the fact that, our kid's Thomas, but I'll call him Johnny, little Johnny hears mom's voice because she's the one. So anytime she's talking, he's keying in on her. So I was mentioning this to Coach Wall this morning. And he said a number of years ago, he had a group of dads and they were talking about some similar things. And they decided as a team that they were going to follow some principles like you teach and advocate. And he said for that whole season, the parents did not cheer for their own kids. They all cheered for everybody else's kids. The parents were quiet when their kids were up to bat. And he said they should go back and track and show the results. He said it was extraordinary. Like the kids just performed better. But talk a little bit about that, because you talk about the performance of the kids, but just as much as it's all of us parents who are, doing all this crap that we, obviously don't want to do wrong, but we are.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all in good, good faith too, right? Like everybody's trying to help. I deal with, hundreds of parents a day, well, maybe not every day, dozens of parents a day reaching out and talking to them. Everybody loves their kid and wants the best for them. And it's not that monster, like my kid needs to get a scholarship so I don't have to pay for school. And it's just not where that's not where it's coming from. And, but so much of it is just really good intentions led astray, right? Like we're watching Cesar Millan, you know, that dog trainer.
Yeah, sure.
And he, you know, we watched that show. He's absolutely gifted. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says about, you know, better human, better dog. And so you watch him and he's training the human. He's not even training the dog. He's just like training the human. And so it's like, you know, better parent, better player is basically what we see with that. And you're right. Like, you know, we have bat sonar for your kids and your parents' ears, right? Mike, I'm in Texas and my parents came out to visit from California. This was about a month ago. And I was at this Best Buy and with my family. We're supposed to meet up for lunch. I didn't know when we were going to see him or whatever. Not just like a normal Best Buy. It's like a super Best Buy. It's like super big, right?
Yep.
And so I'm just like in a TV aisle and I hear a cough and I'm like, my dad's here. I was like, my dad, and he was like one aisle over looking for us. You know what I mean? And
unbelievable.
And so when a kid is hitting, I mean, you got to be locked in. Hitting's tough, right?
Yeah.
And so you're sitting there, they're focused, they're ready, they're about to fire it off. And if they just hear mom say, hey, here we go, Johnny. You know what I mean? Like that just takes them, like my mom just said something.
Yeah.
And now like I'm back to the pitcher. And it's just like that little break in focus didn't help. And it was sweet. Like, we love you. You know what I mean? Like he gets that he's loved, but, those are little small things that his parents were doing, that are not helping. Right. And, you know, there's so many frustrations, like those are easy ones, but you know, just the way we praise a kid, you know, praising them after their good performances starts to get him a little bit tight about like, I get praised after good performances. I need to, do well. And that encourages them to not take on more challenges, right? Like they don't want us, you know, as a player, as a parent, you want your kid to take on hard challenges. Like, hey, this kid's throwing really hard. This is fun. This is how I get better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'll get better at this. But a lot of people, they see a hard thrower and they're like, I'm out because I don't want to, you know, it's like a pass fail sort of scenario for the kid. And they don't want to fail. So it's a shot to their ego to like, maybe I can't do it, you know, versus a kid with a better attitude of like, oh, hey, this is fun. Like, this is hard. Like, you know, and then they can go to the dugout, think about what they can do better next time, you know, because you've applauded them for having the courage to go up there and let it rip as opposed to being like, dang it, we made an out, you know what I mean? And it's like, well, guess what, buddy, buckle up. Cause you know, 250 in the big leagues is like all-star level right now. You know what I mean? Like this game's getting harder and harder. So, you know, it's just something that there's a lot of little tips that us parents just could use. I mean, I'm not great at it. You know what I mean? Like I've struggled with all of it. I still do. You know what I mean? Like this past weekend, I'm like, yeah, you know what? You know, I'm real patient with other kids that I coach. but my kid's 12U and he took a third strike and I respond a little differently than when other kids took third strike. Right. So, it's all a work in progress, but just being aware of a few things that are helpful and that aren't helpful can go a really long way.
Well, and once again, you know, I mean, the corollary to life and to business is so clear. You know, in business, we want to encourage people to take risks and make mistakes because the old adage, if you're not making mistakes, you're probably not trying hard enough. You're not learning. And so, you know, clearly everything is you can extrapolate way beyond baseball. Let's jump forward a little bit and talk about where you're headed with the business. What are some of the things you're thinking about and, you know, in terms of whether it's expanding your audience or expanding the repertoire of what you're doing? How do you think about this from a, you know, businessman's perspective?
There's a couple of directions that we've been looking to go. For a few years, we've looked to go outside of baseball. We'll get emails and be like, hey, I mean, cause it's, if being worried before the game, being, you know, locked up during the game and too hard on yourself after is universal. It doesn't matter if it's swimming or bike riding or soccer or whatever. This
100%.
Is just a natural of feeling, like even, you know, having a podcast conversation, you know what I mean? Like there's like, it just, that's the three phases of a performance, right? Is being nervous, you know, locking up and being too hard later. And so, you know, trying to expand to other sports has been something that, you know, we've tried to do it the last few years and it's hard to, I really feel like you have to speak that language. Like in baseball, I can tell you all day long what that kid looks like up there at the plate. And, in baseball, it's very obvious too, when a kid is struggling, it's a team sport, but it's not, you know what I mean? Like when that hitter's up, it's his turn. And when he goes to the dugout crying because it's hard, you know, you saw it and you right. look for help. And there's other sports like basketball and soccer, that you can hide a kid a little bit. If he's having a bad game, he might not even be as aware that he's blowing his coverage or whatever he's right. doing. You know what I mean? And, yeah. And the game moves on pretty quickly, versus baseball where you have to sit in the outfield for 20 minutes until your next turn and you just get to stew in your own misery. Yeah. So we've gotten a little bit of traction, not near as much as I think, is out there. Right. Sure. I think everybody could use help. So that's kind of like this white whale of mine. That's like, dang it, it's there. And I haven't right. been able to speak to that audience enough, but that's one. And mm-hmm. then, you know, another thing that I'm looking at doing, been real reluctant to do it. I've had this idea for a while, is just doing like a private group of young players. Yep. And I've been in a mastermind group. You know, if everybody's familiar with the mastermind, sure. you know, it's like a private group and you get speakers come in. And, you know, I know a lot of parents really want more resources for their kid on, you know, motivation and mm-hmm. hard work and all that type of thing. And, you know, because we talk about it like a bath, right? Like it works really well. Motivation works really well in the moment. But yep. you can't just do it once and you're good forever. It takes, you know, it takes regular use, just like a bath, right? Like it doesn't last forever. You got to do it regularly to get the full yep. effect. And so, you know, creating a private group, it's kind of like a mastermind group, a paid, you know, group where we'll have guest speakers come in, you know, probably twice a month type of deal, and just do a little Zoom call with them and, you know, give a little presentation, be able to answer their questions. And, you know, just being able to give parents a little bit more of a tool to reach for, because parents and kids just don't mesh, right? Like right. parents know the answer. They're going to tell you the right words, but the kid ain't going to hear it. Mm-hmm. But once you bring in a former major leaguer and he's talking about, you know, working, you know, off the batting machine, like he did when he was a kid, and cranking right. it up and, you know, struggling with it, but finally started foul tipping it and all that type of deal, is going to be really useful. And I know as a parent, my son's 12, my daughter's 11. I've got another one that's 6. She's not okay. quite on the radar for this stuff yet, but yep. it's just kind of the thing that, you know, I want. And I feel like I've had success in business when I've scratched my own itch, and I want my kid to encounter, you know, some people that are, you know, teaching mindset skills and telling inspirational stories of, hey, I wasn't the best when I was 12. Yep. And I kept at it. And I just think that's really useful. So that's something that's kind of on the near future of putting together. So
I love that. You know, I've talked to dads in particular, and it's funny, they'll say, you know, I've been counseling my son on, you know, X, Y, or Z skill for years. And then the coach comes along and says, you know, teaches them the exact same thing. And my kid says, Dad, guess what coach taught me? And he said, you know, just the difference, like you said, of taking it from a third party, which is one of the reasons I don't, you know, necessarily coach my kids, because I think it's easier for a third party to have that objectivity and vice versa, and they can build that relationship. So I like that. I really like that idea of a group. I was curious too, as I've, you know, gone through your materials over time, you're developing a trust with parents and with kids. I wonder if you've, you know, thought about extending that into product reviews and, you know, suggesting different training tools. I mean, obviously you're building expertise in the mental mindset in that world, but I'm wondering do you think about extending that out, or do you really like to stay specific on the mental side of the business?
No, that's a great point. And that's something that we've looked at before also, and we haven't been set up well to execute it. Like I was selling bats. There's an okay. SR bats. There's, you know, make big league wood. I mean, they have all these different training bats and stuff. They're literally 2 miles from my house. I got to go talk to the owner in a couple hours. I got to go get a couple bats from him. You know what I mean? And anyway, I was trying to promote their stuff. And the problem was just the way I was sending a purchase order versus now, you know, Tobin, you bought a bat from me, and now you're calling me to find out the tracking number. And now I'm calling this guy to get the tracking number, and then I don't get a response in time. And so yeah. this is like, okay, this is taking a lot of time, and I made $20 on this bat. You know right, what I mean? Right. So it's kind of like, it's got to flow through without me having to, you know, be the guy.
Absolutely.
But we do have some training products. I got hooked up with a guy named Mike Brumley, who's been, you know, 40 years at the major league level, played major league baseball, is one of the best hitting coaches alive. Mm. Also lives in Keller. Like it just, oh, wow. Another God moment of like, this is about as top level a guy as possible that, you know, kind of wants to share his message. And I'm out here, you know, looking for somebody with credibility to share messages. And, you know, he had a product that he would love to use with his hitters, but he would just make the clubhouse attendant make it. It was like out of a belt. You know what I mean? Okay. He had cut it up and I was like, Mike, this is like exactly what works. You know what I mean? Like you needed that because it was useful. Hmm. It's cheap to make. And so we actually just got some of that made. Oh, cool. And I've been kind of pulling on the brakes because I don't have inventory. You know what I mean? So like I've been kind of holding, but it keeps selling. So I'm like, maybe we're onto something.
Yeah.
And you know, once that leads in, you know, people want the physical product. I have found that people really like physical products. Like they'll spend $50 on a bat if they just think it might be useful, like really no brainer.
No question.
The digital, you know, we've done well with the digital, but it's like, man, people really want the physical. Like, you know, I'll still get emails, you know, I can check my email after this and people will be like, I check this. Is this for real online? Like, am I getting scammed? You know what I mean? Like there's something about digital that gives people hesitance, right?
Yeah. But,
you know, I think, you know, I've been a little reluctant just with my old business. Shipping was always a problem.
Sure.
But we had 20-foot ceiling beams, right? Like this isn't a little bitty box,
right?
But, you know, it's like once we get into the physical, you know, doing one thing is about, you know, doing 10 things, products is about the same as doing one. So like we can get into heavy balls and nets and all that type of thing too. You know, I think there's a market for that. I don't know if it's, you know, going to be 50% or 90% of what we're doing in a year or two from now, but I mean, it's kind of a layup. I've got an audience that needs those things and they like baseball notes. They trust it. And, you know, if I recommend something, why not sell it? So, it's just a matter of building in those systems to where, you know, people get their tracking numbers and they're not asking me for it. And I'm, you know, having to do all XYZ when I need to be, you know, doing more content and teaching that type of stuff.
No doubt. I love it. Well, Clint, this has been a lot of fun just to get to know you a little bit more and more about the business. Before we wrap up, is there anything that either you're thinking about or working on that you want to share with the audience that maybe we didn't cover, anything you can think of?
You know what? If I'd give one little nugget, I know you've got a pretty diverse audience, is just TikTok. I would be exploring TikTok if I were listening to this podcast.
Okay.
And that's something, again, I've been reluctant to do. It's like, oh, TikTok, that's for kids. That's dumb, you know, and China's spying on you on TikTok. I'm not getting that app down, right? And that's not even true, apparently, but it's just an absolute land grab right now for attention. And there's so many ways to just cut up a really helpful tip or something and make it useful. You put a little song in the background and you know, words pop up and it's just more interesting way to share, and it's where it's going. And I've really found that you know, even in group text, I mean, whether it's fantasy football text or, you know, some of my 49er friends text, like everybody's always in the past shared a Twitter link or a Instagram link. And now people are sharing TikTok links.
Wow.
And so even if people aren't creating content, they are on it. They're on it and they're looking, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I've picked up, I think I've got like 12,000 Instagram followers right now. Facebook was up to 30. I don't know. I don't even pay attention to where it's at now, but, you know, those have taken years of growth, and just in 6 months, I'm at like 25,000 with TikTok, you know what I mean? And real views. I mean, it's not pay to play yet. Like you make a video that can just kind of pop, it can get in front of some people. So
that's cool.
It's intimidating, right? But it's fine. You got to do it, right? Like it's exciting. Yeah. It's not nervous. It's exciting. Nobody use that language. If that makes sense.
Well, that's great feedback. And it's interesting too, when you look at the statistics of TikTok and Instagram. I mean, it's directly cutting into Netflix and cable TV. You know, people are using these, they're consuming them as entertainment. I mean, they're absolutely unplugging the TV and watching on the small screen. So it's a phenomenon for sure. And that's great advice, because I think there are people still reluctant to jump on TikTok thinking it's for kids, but I think you're 100% right. It is no longer just a kid's platform. It's everywhere.
Yeah, that's the cycle, right? That's what everybody said about Facebook. You know what I mean? Like everybody was reluctant about Facebook and Instagram, like, no, thanks. And it's same with TikTok. And it's just so creative. You can find people doing anything you want. There's a dark side to TikTok, and then there's things where you can, you know, there's a real positive side.
Sure.
But I mean, whether it's a skincare, whether it's a doctor giving tips. And I mean, there's so many examples of people doing it in various different ways. You can find your comfort level of, you know, it's not just like, oh, I don't dance, so I'm out. And
right,
it's like,
right.
No, you don't have to. Like, there's like, it's just, there's so many options. And you know, I'm a big fan of finding a model that's working and be like, oh, I kind of connect with that. I can do that. Like that, that fits with me and isn't forced or whatever. And, anyway, we're having some success with that. Not so much driving transactions so much, but just really kind of getting eyeballs on stuff and being able to make content, you know, that, is useful and not boring. You know what I mean? Like that's the whole ballgame. So
that's so cool.
So check it out.
Well, Clint, thanks again. Great to have you on the program and super big fan of Baseball Notes and everything you're doing there. And we'll put some more information in the show notes for people to follow and you know, stay plugged in and promote the stuff you're doing because I believe in it. So thanks again.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it. Tell Thomas happy birthday, man. Good luck with the rest of the season. So
I will. Thank you very much for that.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.